Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What we just read was a miracle. It was a miracle. I want to preach on this subject tonight, a season of miracles, a season of miracles. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as I preach the word of God tonight, we go through and lay a scriptural foundation that as the message progresses, Lord, may they hear the voice of the preacher, but more importantly, Lord, I pray that this message would become very personal to each and every one tonight. And Lord, that you'd communicate some things, Lord, to them, to each person specifically, Lord, because I still believe with all of my heart that you are the God of miracles. And Lord, we're in a season that's marked by miracles. And so I pray, dear Lord, as we talk about this tonight, that you'll do a real work, Lord, a sweet work in our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. What we read was the miracle of the virgin birth, the miracle of the virgin birth. I was thinking of the Christmas stories. I've spent a lot of time, I do every December, just reading the portions of Scripture connected to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both the Old Testament prophecies that predicted his birth, the place of his birth, how he would be born, the manner in which he would be brought to earth, but also then, of course, the portions here in the Gospels that give us the details. And what I began to write down was this. Every place I read something about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's miracles attached to it. The miracles of Christmas, the miracle I mentioned a minute ago. And by the way, this message is going to be about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes maybe of introduction, and then about 10 minutes of preaching, and then that's it. So the introduction should be longer than the message. But listen as I lay this groundwork and pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I believe this is going to be a message that can be very personal, should be very personal and unique to every single individual in this room. Stay open to what the Lord's going to say to you tonight. The miracles of Christmas, we read first of all about the miracle of the virgin birth. Folks, listen, that never happened before that, and that's never happened since then. I mean, can you imagine such a thing that God would come to a young lady and explain to her, I'm sending Jesus Christ, who we learned this morning was both God and the Savior of the world, and I'm going to bring him to the earth in a way that a baby's never been born, in a way someone's never been delivered to this planet. He's going to be wrapped in flesh, but he's going to be all God and all man. And then he had to go explain that to Joseph. And by the way, I'm sure glad he did. I think both of them were very deserving of a very divine, supernatural explanation about what was going on. And I'm glad God chose to do that. The miracle of the virgin birth, the miracle of the angelic announcement. Some of these we've already read in previous services, but you know, we talk about the shepherds being in the field, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. It's like noontime at midnight, and here the angel of the Lord comes, and the skies just become aglow, and then the great announcement, and then the heavenly hosts that join in, and we talked about that. But folks, listen to me. If we're not careful, we just talk about these things, and again, that's a miracle. I mean, show me another place in the Bible where something was announced to that magnitude. Yes, we have visitations from angels, and we have individual and unique divine messages being delivered, but good night to take midnight and to turn it into noonday, and to have that miracle of the skies being completely filled with a heavenly host just to bring the news of the birth of a baby by the name of Jesus. And then we see the miracle of Bethlehem's star. And again, think about this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And the fact that God, who created all of the stars, and the Bible says he calls them all by name, and he created all of the stars, and he calls one out for a specific purpose. All of a sudden, it's like the Lord had a dimmer switch, and all of a sudden, he just turned that dimmer switch all the way up to full bright. And he had the attention of some wise men, and God allowed that star to be loosed from its socket and to come to guide men to the place. Folks, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Christmas is full of miracles. How about the miracle of divine protection? By the way, I'm going to go all the way back to Revelation chapter 12 and let you look at what happens from the voice of John the Revelator. How about this? Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Watch this. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the angels of heaven and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now we get to take a step back out of the particulars of the details of the birth. And we get to see this from on the supernatural realm. And folks, listen to me. The devil was poised to murder Christ before he could perform anything that he'd been sent to do. And you think about how God intervened and stepped in and the level of divine protection that he provided, the protection of an expectant mother who, by the way, is great with child, and all of a sudden it's pressed upon her to take a lengthy journey, a journey no doubt neither one of them wanted to take, but God took care of her. He protected her, protected that baby, the protection against a wicked earthly king. And you know the story of how Herod pretended to the wise men to want to come worship Jesus, but he really wanted to find out where he was to be born and where he was once they found him so that he could murder him. And we know this because God had to warn them in a dream that they should not return to Herod, but depart into their country another way. Protection against mass murder. These are miracles. When they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. By the way, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children. What a wicked thing. What a tragic thing. All the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts there are from 2 years old and under. And you know what? Jesus Christ could have been one of those victims, but God stepped in. An angel of the Lord appeared. Joseph listened to the voice of God, was instantly obedient to what God told him to do. And because of that, we see this miracle, the miracle of divine protection. Then the miracle of the Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in mercy. Let me just read them. 742 years before the first Christmas, the virgin birth was prophesied. 710 years before the first Christmas, the city of his birth was pinpointed in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. 740 years before the first Christmas, the divine nature of his birth was predicted. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. 712 years before his birth, the purpose of his coming was foretold. Now you think about these things. These are miracles. Folks, think about that. That men who lived 700 years before an event could be given by God the ability to write out prophecies that are detailed and specific and in some ways seemingly impossible. And yet God reached down with his hand and saw that every single thing that he promised, you know what? It came to pass. By the way, folks, there's unfulfilled prophecy still in this book. And the same God that came down and made sure every detail was fulfilled, we'll see that everything he's promised in his word will come to pass, folks. And so we've learned that we can just believe the Lord. But the miracle of the Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. And then, of course, the greatest of all miracle of a God-man sent to die for the sins of all mankind. Not only the birth of Christ is a miracle surrounded by miracles, but think about this. His life was a miracle, and his death was a miracle, and his resurrection was a miracle, and his eternal existence at the right hand of the Father continues to be the greatest miracle ever known to man. John the Beloved penned these words after the death of Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And folks, this miracle just has produced millions of miracles since then, because every single time a person comes and they read this book or they hear it preached, or somebody at work hands them a gospel tract and they read it, the Holy Spirit of God still is performing the miracle of the new birth as people turn to Christ from their sin, embrace the truth of salvation, cry out to the Lord, receive Christ as their Savior. Every single one of those things is a miracle. Now, I began to think about this, and I thought, if this is the season that is known for its miracles, maybe the Lord would have us here in this last Sunday night before Christmas to just ponder this in our own personal lives for a few minutes. Think with me, if you will. I'm going to give you some things to consider. Again, these things I think the Lord will come and talk to you about, specifically about. Some of these things will resonate. Some of these things is for you. Some may be for someone else. But I want you to understand that if we're going to celebrate a season that's known for miracles, why don't we just trust God for some miracles? Let me give you several things. Number one, ask God for the miracle that you need during this Christmas season. Now, for every single one of us, that's a different thing, a separate thing. You know what? What's in my heart won't be the same thing that's in your heart. But I promise you this, in most of our lives, there's something that we would love to see happen, something that needs to happen, something that if it happened would bring great glory and honor to God. And by the way, would also heal and help us. And you know what? I want you to just ask God that he would bring that miracle to you during this Christmas season. Ask God and trust God for the miracle that you need. Number two, let me give you this. Ask God for the miracle that someone else needs. You know, while we're praying for our own miracle, let's just look around in our church congregation. Because again, one of the things that I think we always got to be guarded against, and by the way, I don't think it's a selfish thing to ask God for something that you need. He wants us to come to us with his needs. But I do think if we're not careful, all we become focused on is what we need. And it's a great exercise that keeps us balanced, keeps us from selfishness, to while we're praying for some miracle that we need in our lives, that maybe God would bring somebody in the congregation, your church family, to your mind and heart. Say, preacher, I just know enough about this family, or I know this brother well enough, or this sister has shared privately something that she needs and something that she carries. And the honest truth is that family needs a miracle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, first of all, Lord, I want to ask you for a miracle. I mean, if this is the season of miracles, why not just have some miracles? But I don't only want to just come and ask for a miracle that I need. I want to look around and I want to just become that person that practices intercessory prayer. I want to stand in the stead of someone that I care about. I want to stand in the stead of somebody that I sit in church with every single week. And Lord, I'm going to call their name out and ask that you also do something miraculous for them. Number three, here's another thought when it comes to miracles. How about this one? Be a miracle for someone who needs one. Be a miracle for someone who needs one. There's been times in me and my wife's life that we had a need that if it was going to be fulfilled to us, it would take a miracle. Now think about this, all right? Stay with me. There's been times in our lives that we had a need that if it was going to be filled as far as what we could do about it, or according to our resources, it would take a miracle. But then in somebody else's life, they could fulfill that need and it wouldn't really take a miracle for them to do it. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? You know, something that you could do for somebody else that they can't do for themselves, you have the ability, you have the resources, you have the talent, You have the time. You know what? You have the treasure. And you can reach over and do something for someone that, you know what, is not miraculous to you, but to them, the only way it could be accomplished is by the way of some miracle, something way outside of their resources or their knowledge. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing when somebody's praying for that miracle and God taps somebody else on the shoulder and say, you know what they need, you could provide. What they need, you have. What they can't do, you could do for them. And so I think if it's going to be the season of miracles, I don't want to just go to God and say, give me a miracle. I want to go to God and say, help me to be a miracle for someone else. And so ask God for the miracle that you need. Ask God for the miracle that someone else needs. Be a miracle for someone who needs one. Here's another thing you could do. Number four, share a miracle story with someone who needs to hear it. Share a miracle story with someone who needs to hear it. And, you know, I think that every single one of us have those stories. As you're thinking about miracles and you're praying for miracles, both for you and for someone else, and you're seeking to be a miracle for somebody else's life, think back to the times God performed miracles in your life already. I'd love for moms and dads sometimes over the Christmas season to maybe gather the kids around and just say, hey, tonight, you know what I want to do? I want to tell you some stories that you've already heard, but I'm going to tell you maybe one or two that you've never heard. And I want you to hear the stories of the miracles that God has performed in your daddy's life and in your mom's life, in your grandpa's life, in your grandma's life. I want to pass down to you that we have a heritage of miracles. And you know what? We read the story of Christmas, and you know what? It's a miracle story. But you know what? Each and every one of us have our own miracle stories. Sometimes it's not just our family that needs to hear these. Sometimes it's somebody else that's maybe going through something that you've gone through, and you've got an opportunity to say to them, hey, you know what? Let me tell you what God did for us. And by the way, I believe with all my heart, God's going to do something similar for you. Don't keep quiet the stories of the miracles of your life. Don't keep them quiet. I think that maybe the first story that you ought to share over the Christmas season with your family is the miracle of your own salvation. I think it's so important, moms and dads, that your children on a regular basis hear the story of how you were saved, the circumstances that God used to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, come on, look right up here. I'm talking about some of you that, preacher, I've never done anything like this. I'm not even sure how comfortable I would be. And you know what? Why don't you just break out of that, gather your children, gather your grandchildren around when it's Christmas time, and say, before we eat and before we open presents and I want you to listen to something that I want to share with you from my heart. And give your children and grandchildren a forever memory where they can 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, if God tarries, say, I can still remember that Christmas when Grandpa, really out of character, really kind of a more of a private person, a private man when it comes to these things. But this was something that's so important to him and something that he wanted to so pass on to us that he just shut down everything and brought everybody in the living room and everybody sat down. By the way, and everybody turned off their devices. Okay. All right. And just say, I want you to listen to me for a little bit because I serve a God of miracles. And I want you to hear about some of the miracles that God has done in my life. And I want you to believe going forward for this night that those miracles is not just for me and Grandma here, but God wants to do miracles in each and every one of your life. Share a miracle story with someone who needs to hear it. And then the last one, number five, ask God to allow you to see a miracle conversion sometime during the Christmas season. And again, folks, we have the greatest story that we could ever tell. And that's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you will see family members you don't see very often. Some that you've prayed for, some that you've witnessed to, Preacher, I've given them the tracts. I've written them the letters. I've talked to them about their need, and it just seems like I get nowhere. Well, can I say this? Just do it one more time. Just do it one more time. I had a front row seat to watch my dad and my mom pray and witness and pray and witness and pray and witness to lost brothers and sisters and moms and dads. And sometimes it took decades, but I watched family members, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my grandparents, slowly come to a realization, to a place in their life where those seeds that were planted and those seeds that were watered, there came a day where that great miracle of salvation, by the way, folks, I understand when it comes to family, it's sometimes easy to go to despair. Preacher, I don't even know if I have the faith to believe that they will be saved. They can be saved. Well, let me say this. Just have enough faith to talk to them one more time. Have enough faith to say, hey, preacher gave us four different gospel tracts. I want you to have one of each. This is the most important gift, not the only gift, but this is the most important gift I can give you this Christmas season. You know what? Ask God to allow you to see a miracle conversion. Well, we go back to the original stories and the scriptures concerning the birth of Christ, and I think none of us could argue that as it is recorded in the Bible, lays the foundation for a belief in miracles. And so why not we just ask God to perform some miracles in our midst during this Christmas season? Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your graciousness to us. Lord Jesus, thank you that surrounding your coming, your first coming, was a whole slew of miraculous things. Lord, I believe that the closer you come to your second coming, you want to do those same type of things, both in our lives and in the lives of the people who we touch. So Lord, may we just lay claim to this tonight. Lord, I want a Christmas miracle. I'm asking you for a Christmas miracle. I'm asking you for my Christmas miracle. I'm going to intercede for someone else who needs a Christmas miracle. Lord, show me an opportunity and I'll do it if you'll show it to me to be a Christmas miracle. Help me to share previous miracles. And Lord, help me to look for that opportunity to see the miracle of someone come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But from this message tonight, over the course of the next 2 weeks, Lord, I pray, dear God, that from this time that we have listened to you tonight will come stories and testimonies of Christmas miracles. We pray these things in Jesus' name.